Psalms 116. I had the not yesterday was my dad's 80th birthday, and I guess I just haven't realized how wonderful that is to celebrate that birthday. He was all happy. He got to see folks he hadn't seen in years, and they were all gathering together. It was great, and I just sat back and I just took in the moment, because I may never get that moment again. And I was thanking God for that moment. And I think if we took life and we broke it down just like that, we would understand just how much God has done for us. Terry and I both have our parents, which is, at our advanced age, that's quite a feat. And we're thankful to God every day for that. It's easy to thank God about those good things. But we also realize that one of the things that it kind of took me aback, I'm going, hold on a second, I just remember, it wasn't that long ago that my grandfather we celebrated his 80th birthday. And so I started doing the math, and I go, oh no, I'm next, if the Lord allows me to live that long. And it kind of put things in perspective. And so I know over the next 20 years, things might not always be so good, but God is still good, and we are to praise Him. And then I look over the entire scope of my life, and I started thinking about parents and everything that that they did for me, that I didn't realize just how much until I got to be, at this advanced age. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I said, there's no way I can ever repay that man. There's none. How much can we repay God for all He's done? Well, the answer is we can't. And so in Psalms 116 helps us deal with how do we repay a debt that we cannot repay. There's no way. And so as we look at Psalms 116, let's get the first verse. It's really simple. I love the Lord, because He heard my voice and my supplications. Why do we love the Lord in the first place? I mean, that comes back to it. It comes back to, we say we love the Lord, but why? Guys, I don't know if you've ever fell for this or not, but if your wife asks you, just tell me, why do you love me? You are treading on some dangerous ground right there. Okay? You're treading on some dangerous ground, because you gotta answer that just right. Because there's no winning here. But think about that. Yeah, I am sure that there are times, and she's not here to defend herself, so I'll turn it around, but I am sure there's times when Miss Terry looks at me and just shakes her head and says, why in the world do I love Him? And we need to reexamine. We need to reaffirm our love for God. We need to figure out why we actually love God. Have we really thought about it? I mean, we're at Thanksgiving and we're thankful for God for this and this and this and this, but are we really thankful for God, or are we thankful for the things that God has given us? It is God whom we love. It's not the great things that He gives us which we love. He hears our pleas. It's a good thing when someone listens to you, isn't it? Even when you may be boring them to death. Can you imagine what it's like sitting up there where God is and having to hear, Lord, my ingrown toenail is bad. Would you please put your higher power of healing upon it?
Now, he's got more better things to do than our toenails. He's got better things to do than hearing us whine and complain about our life situations. He's got better things. But you know what? He hears us. Anyway, the psalmist says he listens to us. He is a God that cares enough to hear our problems. Even when he already knows them. Even when he knows what the answers to those problems are. He listens. You know why that's so special? Because it helps us to realize that we are not alone in this life. Even when we're by ourselves or with somebody. That we're never alone. In Hebrews 13:5, you've probably heard this before. Is it on there? It's not on there. That he would never leave you nor forsake you. Never. That he is with you. If you are a child of God, he is there with you. Through thick and through thin. When you've done some good things and when you've done some not so good things. That's real love there. That's true. He says, why do I love you? Because you're there for me. Because you listen to me. But the ultimate answer is found in Scripture again. We love Him because He first loved us. So why does He even bother with us? I mean, if I was him and looking at me, I wouldn't bother with me. I mean, I just wouldn't. So why? 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. It does not take a big leap of faith to love God. But for him to love us is something extraordinary. Something that he should not any normal person would ever do. Especially because of the way we treat him at times. But he's not ordinary. He's extraordinary in his love towards us. And so we need to reaffirm our love to God. It is one thing sitting around being thankful about this thing and God has given it to us. But it's another thing to say, God, I love you because. And I'm so thankful that you're my Savior and that you sent your Son to come die on the cross for me so that I could have this relationship with you. And how can we reaffirm our love? Well, we can reaffirm our love for God by recalling our past distresses. Have any of y'all ever had problems in your life that you've had to come through? Have you? Maybe a few. Maybe you're going through some now. Maybe your life is just totally going down the tube. Maybe things are falling apart at the seams. And you're sitting there going, Brother Andy, you're telling me to thank God. Yes. Because if you look back at your past distresses, if you look back at what God has brought you through already, you'll see. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold on me. And I found trouble and sorrow. He says, I'm going to love you because I've seen what you've done for me in the past. The sorrows of death. It touches us all. There was a time, and it doesn't seem that long ago, that I was bragging about had all my grandparents. All six of them. They're gone. And I dealt with the sorrow of each one passing. And I relied on God. I went through a very terrible time as a young man when we lost my sister-in-law in a car accident. Devastating. She was my age. Went to school together. It was devastating to me and to my family. And there were some stormy times. But I remember what God did and how God helped me deal with it. Those terrible times of grief over a loved one. It's the questioning, and it's the not understanding why. Why, God, am I going through this? Why did this have to happen? And then it's the realization, the realizing of just how temporary life really is. James 4:14 says it best. James 4:14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even the vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That moment when you realize that you're mortal, that one day you're going to die and having to deal with that. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. It does help to know that when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. That helps me tremendously. And for you, the folks out there that have never accepted Christ into their heart and their life, I don't know how you deal with it. But I have God to comfort me because I know that my Redeemer liveth and I'm going to be with Him when I pass. And the trials and the sorrows of this life that sometimes just bring us to our knees. By the way, that's where it should bring us, to our knees in prayer. Maybe the sorrows of broken relationships. Now, when I was a much younger man, there was some. There were lots of times that that there were a lot of tears and a lot of heartache in my life. And then I married her. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. At least on my end of it. Broken relationships. That person that's out of your life that can never come back and for whatever reason and that separation and the hurt and the heartache. Maybe it's the bodily pain that we all have. That we don't all have, but we're, you know. The pain, the suffering, and you just say, why, Lord, does my toe hurt? Why does my elbow hurt? Why does my head hurt? Why? And the answer is, remember that time when I brought you through this? I got you on this. And then there's another trial, distress in your past. At least I hope it's in your past. The distress of not knowing the Lord. Remember the time when you realized that you were lost and condemned to hell? Remember that time when it full of realization is the Spirit of God was dealing with you and you were under conviction and you maybe you couldn't sleep at night because you knew that if you died at that moment you would not you would never be with Him, that you'd go to hell? I had a few nights like that where it was sleepless. I couldn't sleep because of the fact that I knew that I wouldn't do it. And so you're saying, Brother Randy, why didn't you just do it? I do not know. All I know is when I did, it was a very happy time for me. That's a faded memory now. Oh, it's a memory. I still remember. But I can't remember what it was like to be lost. What it was like to not be certain of my future. I can't remember what it was like to wonder or not if I died, if I was going to heaven or hell. I've had that security for many, many, many years. 45 to be exact. So if I have this memory, the reason that I can love God is because I look back at all the things that I went through in my life. And I say, and at that time, I said, how am I ever going to make it through? And every single time, God brought me through. Has He done that to you? Has He done that for you? Thank God. Love God. Reaffirm your love by recalling your past distresses in life. Reflect on His deliverances. His deliverances. In verse 4, we'll go to verse 10. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death. You delivered my eyes from tears. And you delivered my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. It all starts, if you are asking for deliverance, and you look back at your life, it all starts with crying out to Him. Oh Lord, what will I do? Lord, I can't do this anymore myself. In those horrible moments of life, did you call on Him? Did you ask for His deliverance? Did you ask for His guidance? And if you did, then you can reflect on what He's done for you in those moments. He can literally give you a peace in your heart that passes all understanding. There are moments in my life I'd have never made it through if I hadn't called on God and said, I need help. I'm about to fall apart. In Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. This is important. If you don't believe God can give you peace, He's not going to give you peace. You can say the words, but you have to believe. You have to understand that only God can pull you through this, can make things right again, turn your world right side up. Only God can do that, and you have to believe it. And if you ask in that kind of faith, He'll deliver. You know, I remember so many times that I would mess up when I was a kid. I don't do that anymore. But I would mess up as a kid, and I would have to. I did not fear my mother, but I feared my dad. And there's good reason for that. But that fear, it was actually talking to Him about how I messed up. And sometimes I was very surprised at how He heard me and how He dealt with me, how He reacted when I would come to Him and say, Dad, I messed up. Sometimes He was pretty gracious, loving, and kind. Sometimes He wasn't. But how does God respond to us? When we go to God and we say, Lord, my life is a wreck. I've done this and this and this. And are you scared to go to Him because you're afraid of His wrath or afraid of His judgment? So how does God really react to us? Well, David says here in Psalms that he was gracious. The compassionate response of one who is able to help another person in need. Compassionate. He didn't point His finger at, well, you're getting exactly what you deserve. And that'll teach you from now on. What He did was He opened His arms and says, I understand. When we're needing Him, He was there to help. Now, we might not have known it right then, when we was going through all the stuff in our life. But I think you can look back now and see how gracious He really was. How gracious He really was to us. He not only was gracious, but He's righteous. He knew what was best for us.
You tell me if I'm a good parent or not.
My kids would always go to the knife drawer and get the knives out, and I said, "Why don't y'all go out and play in the street with the knives?" He says, "Because they wanted to. You know, they would want to go out in the street." And I'd say, "Well, just go ahead."
Because we can't tell our kids no, can we? I mean, whatever they want to do. Yeah, Caleb, go start. You throw that gasoline on that fire. That'd be good for you.
He saw me do it one time, so he thought he could.
No! I tell them no! Why do I tell them no? Because it's not good for them. We know what's best for our kids. And we tell them, don't play in the street. Don't play with knives. Don't pour gas on a fire. Right, Terry? No, we don't do that. We don't tell our kids to do that because we don't want them to get hurt, because we know what's best for them.
We can look back now at all the ways the Lord has used and blessed us because of those trials. I used to think my dad was so mean, and now I realize that he was so righteous and gracious when he told me no. It wasn't because he was mean to me. It was because he wanted to keep me safe. Here I am. He did a good job. He taught me. He knew what we needed. God knows what we need. And so when we look back in our life and start saying, "Man, I wish I'd have done this. I wish this had happened to me." No, don't play that game. Thank God for where you're at and what he's done for you already. And he was merciful. He knew what it was like to lose a loved one. He knew what it was like to be afflicted. He knew what it was like, even for a moment, to have God turn his back on us. He knew. He knows how it feels. And he has compassion. He has mercy. He has righteousness. And he knows. He's not some giant computer in the sky who we're numbers. He knows what we're going through right now. And how he delivered us. When I was low, he lifted me up. Oh, I thank him for that. There have been times in my life, and I'm sure in yours, that you just felt like you couldn't make it through another day. And he lifted me up. When we thought we could never be happy again. Have you ever been there when you said, "I just never be happy again"? And I say that, and I can say that. I've been there. I can say it with a smile on my face. Because I realized it was just a thing that God was bringing me through. When we thought that our problems would never go away, and now we find that he's taken them away. It may be replaced by another set of problems, but he's delivered us from those. And when we thought we were lost and not going to heaven, he came into our lives and promised that we were his, and that he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us, and that the minute we draw our last breath, we'll be with him. We knew. He delivered us from that. And if there's not anything in this world that you can thank him for, that you can think of to be thankful for, you can be thankful for that moment, for that time when he delivered us from the pits of hell. In verse 9, we see we're able to walk before the Lord in this life no matter what. There's nothing in this life that's ever going to be to a point, situation where we can't walk the way God, live this life the way God wants us to live it. There's no excuse. No matter what our problems, no matter what our situation, there is no reason to walk like the world, but we're to walk in his light. Verse 7, it says, he quieted our soul because he's done so much for us. Man, when you start looking at that this way,
you can see God's hand in our lives all the way through our lives, can't you? So how do we thank Him? How do we thank God for all these? I was trying to find a way to thank my dad yesterday, and I just couldn't. I was trying to say, well, what does dad want for his birthday? He don't want nothing. He just wants y'all there. I thought, he don't want nothing. He says this party is his birthday present. You know, I started thinking, what kind of gift could I give him to repay him back anyway? How more can I pay God back? Is paying God back for all the great things He's done simply by coming to church, giving offering, is living a good life, you know, cut all this much sin out? Is that a way of repaying Him for all this stuff that He's given me and done for me? Not really. It kind of pales in comparison. He has dealt bountifully with us, hasn't He? So what can we do for Him? Have you got somebody on your Christmas list that has everything and you can't ever think of what you're going to buy them because they've got everything? Well, I've got a few of those. God's got everything. He's got everything. What could we do for Him that would even begin to pay back even one of the many blessings that He's given us life? Well, what we find here is take the cup of salvation. Now, this cup of salvation doesn't mean salvation in the sense of being saved or lost. It means blessings. The cup of blessings. We should continue to call on Him. Let's look in verses 12 through 19. What shall I render? Is that it? Okay. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly am I Your servant. I am your maidservant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I beseech You. He says, the only thing that I could do to repay Him was to say two simple words. Thank You. Thank You. And to Him, that was enough. He was gracious and merciful and knew that I would have bought my own, but I couldn't. I couldn't get what He's given me on my own. There's no way. And we pay back God in other ways. What other ways could we pay Him back? I'm having trouble thinking of some. The only thing I'm offering Him is myself and tell Him thank You. You know, He says we must offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to our Lord today and every day. Ever heard it put like that? The sacrifice of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. I thank You, Lord, for all the things that You've done for me, all the situations I've been through, all the predicaments I've gotten myself into, and You have delivered me. Thank You. Thank You for my family. Thank You for this place, this home. These kids, these grandkids, thank You. That's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I could work till till the day that I die, and I'll never be able to pay Him back for these kind of blessings. I realized that for sure yesterday. I looked around, and my entire family was there. And then I remember back when I was a teenager and wondering if I'd ever get married, because no one would ever have me. And I look back and I say, oh Lord, you really did a number on me here. You know, you blessed, and you blessed abundantly. So we need to sacrifice a thanksgiving to say thank you. Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Saying thank you in itself is good, a heartfelt thank you. But there has to be something else on your end to make it mean something. You have to offer yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for what you've given me. And I offer you more of myself than I've been giving. Even if you did do this, give everything, it could just never repay the Lord for what he did. What did he do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He gave his only Son. He gave everything. So all we can do is call on him and say a very simple thank you. There have been times in my life when somebody has given me something, and many times you folks have done this. I'm speechless. I don't know how to react. I don't know how to pay you back. And all you really wanted was a thank you. Are we telling God thank you? Or are we just thanking him for the things that he's given us? So we need to show the world. Show the world how thankful we are. In verses 18 and 19, he says, I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We should tell the world of all the things that he's done for us. Too often when we live this good life and he's blessed us with things, too often we take the credit for ourselves instead of giving it to God. We are to pay our vows. We are to say, he's responsible for where I'm at today. He's responsible. He's the one that gave me this. We should do that. We should publicly cry out and say, thank you, Lord, and never be ashamed of it, and honestly give him the credit that's due. Thank you, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. There you go. You're almost ready to break out in the song, huh? Praise ye the Lord. Don't praise the things that he's given, but praise him who has given it to us. And so this week, let's do the reflection of all the great things that he's done. And let us together today praise him. Say glory, hallelujah. Tell him and everyone else in this world that who is responsible for our lives and the great things in it. So what are you thankful for today? In your bulletin, there's a list of 10 things. Some of you complained about not having enough space, because honestly, we couldn't. Tonight, we'll be looking and talking about how thankful some of just how thankful we are for him. It's something not to just dwell on Thanksgiving, but something that we should dwell on every day. Thanking God through the midst of the good times and the bad times. This morning, honestly, if you're here today and you've never ask Jesus into your heart, into your life, and right now the Spirit of God is dealing with you, saying you need to come to Him. And I don't know your heart, but God does. You don't have a lot to be thankful for. Everything in your life is temporary. Everything that you dealt, that you went through, and are going to go through, is temporary. God is the only one that's going to give you anything of permanence that lasts beyond this life. And so if you're here today and God's dealing with your heart, you want to be thankful this Thanksgiving? You want for Christmas to have the best Christmas gift ever? Submit to Him. Ask Him into your heart. Say, Lord, save me. Plead with Him. And you may think, well, he won't accept me because of the things that I've done. Well, that's just ridiculous. He accepted me. Quite frankly, He accepted you. And He'll save you if you ask. Child of God, you're here, and if you're becoming unthankful for the things that for what God has given you, and your relationship with Him is built on whether or not He's doing good things for you or not, you need to stop that. You need to go to the core. And the core of that is, do you love God? Are you reaffirming your love for Him? I want you to remember what He's brought you through. Would you do that today?